many of us, the word budget is not on our favorite words list. But as so many of us across Michigan discovered during the Great Recession, things can get mighty scary when there's a crunch and we don't have too much in the piggy bank. Enter my next guest, Detroit News personal finance editor Brian O'Connor. He writes the paper's Funny Money column. During the Great Recession, Brian and his family were feeling the pinch, so he decided to find out if his family could cut expenses by $1,000 every month. He's turned this experiment into a new book that he's titled The $1,000 Challenge, How One Family Slashed Its Budget Without Moving Under a Bridge or Living on Government Cheese. Brian O'Connor, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me, Cynthia.
So set the stage for us. Here you were writing on financial affairs for the Detroit News after you moved to Michigan in March of 2005, and that year is very important. It's just before things really began to drop out. So what happened to your family's finances?
Well, we wound up with a couple of different setbacks. 2005 was kind of the peak for the pre-recession in Michigan. And my wife moved up with my son, and she didn't go back to work for a few years because of dealing with some educational issues with my son. And by the time she could find a job, it was pretty much low-paying part-time work. But, you know, Michigan was already in that one-state recession that
yes.
we talk about since 2000. So the auto industry was already restructuring. Mm-hmm. Unemployment in the state was already much higher than the national average and never really recovered from the tech bubble going bust at the turn of the century. So things were already kind of ragged. And when the recession hit in my job, I'm thinking, you know, we're headed towards 14% plus unemployment. People probably don't really need to know which credit card gives them the most frequent flyer points right now. If dad goes to work in the morning or mom goes to work in the morning and comes home unemployed and it's going to take 6 months to 2 years to find another job, mm. and that job is probably going to pay less anyway.
Yeah. How do you prepare for that?
Right. I mean, what's the one thing that you need to do? You need to stretch your cash so far that, you know, the eagle screams.
And Lincoln gets a headache.
And Lincoln gets a headache. And that's the thing. Even if you're going bankrupt, even if you're going into foreclosure, you need cash. It costs a lot of money to go bankrupt in America, a couple thousand dollars. So even if you're really in dire straits, you still need to conserve cash for going and finding a rental apartment, if you're losing your home, filing for bankruptcy, all these things. And of course, there are a bunch of other people, even though you can say, well, 85% of folks kept their jobs. They're making less. They've taken a pay cut. They've lost their overtime.
Yeah,
they're paying more for health care. Their college fund has got to be double the size they thought it was, or they've made nothing on their retirement investments for 10 years.
House is underwater, all of the
– Right.
It's a very familiar chant throughout the state.
You know, it really is one of those circumstances where cash is king, and my thought was, what do you do and how far do you need to go? And $1,000 made for a nice headline.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't practical for everybody. There are probably people listening to us who maybe don't even have $1,000 a month. But the idea was, what can you do and how far do you have to go?
Mm-hmm.
And part of what I found was that for a typical middle-class kind of family, there's a lot that you can get rid of that's not particularly going to involve twisting somebody's arm.
So you were trying to prove something to yourself as well as to your readers.
Right. I mean, I think one of the things is, does any of this advice work
mm-hmm.
that you're handing out in this newspaper, glibly handing out in this award-winning newspaper column? And so, you know, they say on Wall Street, you know, you have to eat your own dog food. And so, you know, I didn't want to eat dog food, so I needed to try my own advice. And it was interesting because it fell into a couple of categories. A lot of it was spending that was embarrassing to actually put in the newspaper.
Such as?
It was stupid spending.
Okay.
The most embarrassing one was I had kept an email account when I moved back from Florida to Detroit. So I could keep in touch with old freelance clients who
sure.
where that might be my only contact. Well, by the time I did this, I'd already been living here for 4 years and I hadn't opened the email account in 2.5 years.
And you've been paying for it.
And how was I paying for it? It was $25 a month on a credit card. If I had had to pull out the checkbook, write the check, find a stamp, realize I'd forgotten to buy stamps, go buy stamps,
mm-hmm.
you know, pay a late fee because I didn't have any stamps, find the envelopes, mail this thing every month.
You'd have killed that thing quick.
Right. I'd have taken that thing out behind the barn with a 22 right away, right? But no, and you have that. And for other people, it could be a gym membership. It can be something like a storage unit, which I also had. It can be a subscription to Cat Fancy when Fluffy died 2 years ago, all that kind of stuff. And you sit there and you try not to think, okay, $25 a month times 12 times 4 years.
Holy moly.
You know, that's a really nice vacation.
Yeah. So you start by, sounds like a good place to start is look at that credit card bill.
Right.
So go through that and take a very, very cold, hard look.
Oh, yeah. And that's if people don't want to do a budget, and most people, this is a big New Year's resolution, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the top two is get my finances
in order. Lose weight and get my finances in order.
So what do people do? If you need to lose weight, you just stand on a scale and you go, wow, I am a fat son of a gun, right? And that's all the feedback that you need. But everybody doesn't know if you have two people, two checkbooks, one paycheck, two paychecks, mm-hmm. automatic debits to this and that and the other thing. You don't really always know. And so people get stymied by trying to create a budget, going through all the statements and going through the bank statements and finding the stuff and downloading and what software do I use and do I use this website. And so most people won't do it. It's going to be like the guy who goes and buys a home gym and then it becomes a laundry hanger.
Yes.
Yeah. It's better to just take one bill, you know, take that MasterCard bill, take that cable bill and just, you know, x-ray that turkey, mm-hmm. you know, and go through everything. And if you do that, that'll start to get your spending in control because whatever reason you need a budget, you don't need a budget. You need more money for your goal. Either you can't pay your bills or you don't have enough to buy a new car or you don't have enough to put the kids through college.
Or take that vacation or retirement.
Right. Whatever your goal is, I need to put 10% more into retirement. Just start focusing on that.
Huh.
Don't start making a color-coded spreadsheet that tracks every penny, you know, with the ruthlessness of a Kardashian looking for a new husband. You know, jump in and then let that progress carry you along. By the time I'm done, I have the 10 largest categories in my budget. I know what we'd been spending for the previous 9 months mm-hmm. in that year. And now I have a pretty good feedback on what I'm actually spending. You're getting down into some pretty minor amounts of spending after you hit the top, after you take out your transportation, your housing, your groceries, your entertainment, your child care. You're getting into the points where you're probably not talking about a heck of a lot of money.
Yeah, it's stuff that you're not going to miss that much.
Right.
I'm speaking with writer Brian O'Connor, who is the Detroit News finance editor, and his book is A $1,000 Challenge, How One Family Slashed Its Budget Without Moving Under a Bridge or Living on Government Cheese. What was the hardest cut for you to make?
The hardest cuts, I found three different things. I found things that I was indifferent about, right? I didn't really care about which internet service provider I used.
Okay.
That was a really easy one. Utilities, cable, cell phone, telephone, long distance, all that. Those are very competitive things. People who have your business want to keep it. The people who don't
want to
get it. They're introducing new packages and calling plans and things all the time. That was literally three phone calls, about 90 minutes. I saved $140 a month. And I got $600 in temporary discounts or rebates, including a $200 gift card like a month before Christmas for switching my plans. So that was really easy. And that's another thing that I found is that if you focus on your recurring monthly bills, every dollar of spending that you cut is really $12 a year.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest stuff to cut is stuff that's behavioral. So entertainment, personal spending.
Getting my latte.
Getting your latte, getting your lunch, grocery shopping. That's the stuff where you have to be a little disciplined and, you know, you have to do it regularly. And if you're, you know, somebody like me who says, great, I'm going to cut my personal spending, I'll take my lunch, and you don't, suddenly that category is not going to work.
Have your cuts lasted?
I would say that the bulk of them have. There were one or two that we didn't get to right away for logistical reasons. Life insurance, we didn't reprice because we wanted to take care of some other health things to make sure that we could get the lowest. Like I said, the utility mm-hmm. stuff, that has been, you know, once you hang up the phone, you're done. You're saving money for the rest of your life.
I like the way in the $1,000 challenge that you address several levels of trouble that people can get in. You have, you know, down. I am about to go insolvent and declare bankruptcy. You've got advice for them up to I want to take a vacation. How do I? So basically what I'm hearing is plug all those little minuscule holes in the bucket that
right.
cause that leaking.
It just depends on how serious you want to get or how serious you need to get. I think for a lot of us people who haven't had a raise, most people aren't back to where they were in 2005 or 2006. So we're not in a crisis, but we're not where we thought we'd be. Yeah. And you can get to that point, I'm in my 50s, where you kind of go, man, how can I not afford this? You know, I have a good job. I have a good career. Well, you know, we've been through the worst recession in 80 years and another jobless recovery 8 years before that. So a lot of us are catching up, and this is one way to catch up. But it's, you know, people will say, well, I've gotten some emails from people who said, because I mentioned my boat maintenance. Well, it's a 30-year-old boat.
So you we're not talking big yacht on the St. Clair River.
Right. And I get these kind of sneering emails that go, well, I wish I had a boat to cut out of my budget. You know, and it's all about whatever your priorities are, whether it's a 30-year-old boat or whether it's I've got to be able to keep the lights on until I get evicted.
Yeah.
And I can move in with my aunt. Whatever. It's your money, and you should decide what to do and where it should go.
The book is The $1,000 Challenge, How One Family Slashed Its Budget Without Moving Under a Bridge or Living on Government Cheese by Brian J. O'Connor. And pleasure to meet you, and thanks so much for talking with us on Stateside.
Thanks for having me.